You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, follow along on Facebook at Christopher DeSimone. That one. And of course, online, you can stream us anytime, KVOI.com. Our 2020 election interviews all the candidates that come through the door here at The Voice are going to be up on our podcast at KVOI.com. Go to Election 2020.
Look at you, Ed Alexander.
Baby.
Woo! Tell him, Frankie. Upside town.
You think? This town.
So good. Welcome back to the third hour of Wake Up Tucson. Thanks to the folks that filled in for me while I was gone. Shelly Kice, Sean McCluskey, Matt Neely, and Jonathan Hoffman. Totally appreciate it. Gave me a chance to... Literally, I got into the lotus position up in northern New Mexico.
On top of the mountain.
And with some shamans from Shamayo.
Yeah.
And we just did it up. And then we ate carne adobada. And red and green chili cheeseburgers.
And the, what's the smoke thing? The
incense?
Yeah, no, yeah, that, but the one you burn, what is that? I'm sorry, I forgot.
That's okay.
Not the smudge pot. What is it? I'll think about it. I've got one at home, but I haven't lit it up yet.
We'll get it next hour.
You know. Sage thing.
Whatever. Tomorrow's show, we got John Backer. He is running against Steve Christie in a primary, Republican primary for District 4 supervisor. Hmm. Josh Nicholson, who is a current Oral Valley town council human.
Ooh.
And then our first part of the interview, there'll be a few interviews about the census is coming up. And of course, the powers that be in Tucson would like Tucsonans to actually get counted because they feel like there has been a great job in the past, and that has cost Tucson, believe it or not, more money. So we got to talk about that also. So we'll have one of our census interviews tomorrow. Now, Oral Valley, very interesting. We had our new police chief was put into effect on Saturday.
Welcome.
Danny Sharp, friend of the show, retired on Friday, or I guess Saturday morning. And Danny and I didn't always agree on everything, but the one thing is I really appreciated what he and the Oral Valley Police Department did all these years.
Mm-hmm.
As a guy raising kids, in a town that was peaceful and quiet and safe, Danny's a big part of that. So, Danny, thanks for all of your service as a, not just an Oral Valley policeman, but before that, of course, Tucson Police is where he was before. So, congratulations on a great career. I know he's still going to do a lot of work with like the Federal Chiefs Association, or highway safety is a big thing for him. So, he's not like going to go play golf in Canasta or something like that. Danny's got some other things to do. So thank you, Danny. We totally appreciate it. And we're still going to have him on the show because he's such a good perspective on public safety.
Real good.
Actually, I can get more out of him now that he's maybe not the actual police chief. Some of the stuff that him and I would talk off air might make it on air. Also, an update in Oral Valley. So far, the people that have pulled papers to run for, there are three open seats. And these are the last three friends of Satish are up for election. So that, one isn't. So Rhonda Pena is going to go run for Pima County Board of Supes. Remember, if you're a Republican who has any sort of respect for Allie Miller and you vote for Rhonda Pena or give her a dime, that's not good. Number two, then there's Steve Solomon with the most annoying voice in all of elected officials. Steve, his seat's up. And then Bill Rotman. Now, so far, one of my Oral Valleyans who listening can update me. The two people I know that have pulled packets to run for office is Bill Rotman is going to run for re-election, even though a lot of people thought he was not going to run for re-election. So he's going to run for re-election. And then former Councilman Oral Valley, Bill Garner, who's been on the show before, he is now running for Oral Valley Town Council again. So right now I have 3 seats that are open, but only 2 people have pulled packets in Oral Valley. And they are this crazy primary thing that this is a seat that can be won in August. This is quick. August 4th is going to be, could determine the Oral Valley Town Council thing. So if there's a few people who are listening to the show who are, you know, who did not like Satish Hiremath's way of governance and that silly golf course purchase and some of the other shenanigans that have happened over the years, we need you to run for office in Oral Valley. So if you need to talk to the right people, just email us at wakeuptucson@gmail.com and I'll hook you up with the right people to talk to about running for office. But I need 2 people to run for office for the Oral Valley Town Council. That's all I'm telling you. And one last thing, I guess, I was off, and part of that was, of course, my offspring were off for rodeo parade.
Oh, rodeo. You took rodeo. Is that what happened? You took rodeo days off, dude.
Feels very dude. Politically insensitive, right?
Come on. Oh.
I know. Now, remember TUSD was going to change the rodeo vacation to Western Heritage Days because rodeo's too mean to the cows and the horses?
There goes your...
That'll come up again. Now that Stegman's not there and, you know, Rachel's off in Jamaica, this is coming back. This is coming back again. Don't you worry. Crystal Foster's got it right on her calendar. So, it's always interesting when you're out of town and some of the stories or messages you get on text messages or, you know, Facebook Messenger from people. But there was, I guess, a mild kerfuffle with it. This is not going to surprise you. Tucson Police Department.
Hmm.
So they had a float.
And really?
So I'm looking at the float video. Okay.
I've heard about this.
And so it's a very nice float. And it has a variety of TPD officers on it. And most of them are in some sort of uniform.
Mm-hmm.
So you can identify them as police officers. There's one guy who's not, who's, you know, that's fine. I got it. But most of them are in their dress blues. Or some sort of blue, that they're cops. And there's, I can see, the video I see right now has 3 officers right now, and they're all wearing their uniforms. So the kerfuffle is Magnus didn't go on the TPD float. So he went on the float with Fimbris and the mayor.
Yeah, playing power politics.
And not wearing his uni at all. I'm not just saying this. My comment on this, I'm not saying any of this is right or wrong. I'm looking at the picture right now. We have Magnus wearing some sort of long sleeve shirt, a cowboy hat and jeans. Rahina's behind him. There's useless Paul Durham next to Magnus, right? And what came up from 3 longtime TPD officers who are listeners to the show is this perfectly exemplifies the chief. He would rather be hanging out with the politicos on their wagon than show up and be with these people in uniform on their wagon.
Absolutely.
That's the number one thing I got back from these officers is they're like, you know something? This is Chief Magnus perfectly in his spiritual sense of being the police chief of Tucson. Is he'd rather go hobnob and be seen with Mayor Romero and Paul Durham than with his own officers at one of the biggest events of the year.
It's like they don't always meet like all the time anyhow and have coffee. And
you are correct.
And decide how they're going to run this city. The mayor and the police chief, that's
believe,
all they do.
You know, either I heard that Chris is up for, he gets his 30-year pension at the end of the year. Okay.
Bye-bye.
So either he moves or I think what he wants, I think he wants to be an assistant city manager. And do the double dip.
Do
the Richard Miranda double dip.
Oh, God.
Now, Richard was working for Pima County
Richard
doing
had
security,
brains.
Too, right?
Richard had some smarts.
I'm not going to compare anyone's smarts to whatever.
I'm just saying Richard Miranda at least knew how to run things.
Chief Magnus is an activist who's a police chief who really wants to be a city bureaucrat. That's what I get.
And get the pension.
Well, I mean, the pension's going to come. Mm-hmm. Right. But this is the one thing I got from TPD officers is they were at least nonplussed to see that he would rather hang out with the politicos on their wagon at one of Tucson's biggest special events than actually be with his officers. And they said there's more to that than you think. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Ed Alexander, Christy Simone.
It's sort of like living the glamorous life. On the float.
You know, when you're
mayor.
On the road trip, you go through a lot of songs, and this one came up on one of my mixes, and I hadn't heard it for a while, and I love this song. Sheila E., Glamorous Life. This goes out to my boy, Chief Magnus. Wake up, buddy.
This is it. This is... We have, coming up at 9 o'clock, Zach Yenser this morning. You don't want to miss that with Tipping Point. This is Cy Zentner. I'm telling you, with a walk on the wild side. It is. Isn't it?
Wow.
You think I'm lying?
Look at you.
Yeah. Do. What if...
Usually we play the Jimmy Smith version of
this. I know.
So.
But this is the Cy Zentner. Zentner.
Cy Zentner. It's the closest you're going to get, buddy.
I know.
Remember when I asked Juan Ciscomani from the governor's office about Oracle Road?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, because it's an Oracle Road is an embarrassment, and the idea that there's no I'll tell you, here's the plan. So the folks at letoralvalleyexcel.blogspot.com, they've been doing it for years. They're probably the number one local thing about Oral Valley news and notes and opinion. They say that they're going to start rebuilding it this summer. The project will be done in two phases. The first phase is the section of road from River Road to Calle Concordia.
Okay.
Which is where CDO High School is and the Creek Park and stuff like that. According to Paul Kiesler, Oral Valley Town Engineer and Director of Public Works, quote, three will be sidewalks from McGee all the way down to River. There will be street lights from Ina south to River. The pavement will resurface. That's stage one. When that's completed, we'll have a really great condition on Oracle Road throughout the entire... Well, don't say that yet. Phase one is anticipated to cost $15 million. Phase two is $12 million. All funds will be paid for the state. And, of course, there's probably 70,000 trips along Oracle Road daily. So... Anyway, and you can hear him on Jim Horn's Oral Valley podcast is where this actually comes from. And then phase two will be, quote, next year. So 27 mil over the next two summers to fix Oracle Road. So thank God. The other big story over the week while I was up in the mountains is a Greyhound bus will no longer allow Border Patrol agents on their buses without a warrant to conduct routine immigration checks. The company's announcement comes 1 week after the AP reported on a leaked Border Patrol memo confirming agents can't board private buses without consent of the bus company. Greyhound previously insisted, even though it didn't like the checks, it had no choice under federal law. So this is interesting because I don't know how the law works in relation to it. So they can check your car, right, when you hit a Border Patrol checkpoint.
Certainly.
So the idea, now here we are, we've been doing for years these trips to Rocky Point and other places in Mexico. And we have had, I love our brothers and sisters who are doing a very tough job. But sometimes there's literally no logic on how they do things. Okay? Like, for an example, they know we're coming back. They go through the entire bus when we hit Sonoyta Gringo Pass there. And then there's a Border Patrol checkpoint just south of the Ajo turnoff up there. We're going to make a right turn to head to Tucson. And there's another Border Patrol one. It's like no one from... Customs can call up Border Patrol and go, hey, there's a big gray line bus coming. We already checked it. It's good. And, you know, then we get pulled over by Border Patrol and they go through the whole thing again. So I think there needs to be a clarification for these folks in relation to can they go on your bus or not. And it is interesting when you watch these, you know, the Border Patrol guys are trying to be, they're trying to cover everyone because they don't want to look like they're just looking for illegal Mexicans.
Right.
Right. They don't want to lay. So we've been on the bus where we've had like the guy and his wife, and you can see this guy's like in his 70s and he has his hat on because he served on a ship in the Navy and during the Korean War. Right. He's got his USS whatever hat and jacket on. And I got to have the Border Patrol guy hassle him for his passport to make sure he's a
American citizen.
He's an American citizen. And you're kind of like, what are we doing here? So anyway, so Greyhound.
Yes.
Is going to say no. And I haven't heard yet.
Without a warrant.
Without a warrant.
That's the part I missed before. Okay.
So I guess is there somehow they can get a, you know.
A blanket warrant maybe?
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to work. But interesting to see how this works. So, you know.
Why would you stand up against?
Are there illegal immigrants riding the Greyhound buses all over the country? The answer has to be yes.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
We talked about how the government was putting illegals on buses and sending them to Tucson. Remember that? They're sending them out of Texas the other way. So this is definitely one of the number one paths for people to get around the country. So then the question is, how about all those, if only 20% of illegal asylum seekers are going to their court date, do you think there's a chance that they might take the bus? Yes. I don't know. Yikes. Wake up, Tucson, 1030 KVY The Voice, local news and talk, CBS Bloomberg, coming up.
You started it with aha and living daylight, so I can keep it going. Does that mean I have to play Billie Eilish too, her new one about, what is that, the new one? She's the new James Bond. She's too late to die or something like
that.
You
know, I'm officially done with Daniel Craig. He looks tired. He reminds Daniel Craig as Bond right now. Reminds me of Harrison Ford in the Force Awakens.
Mm.
Just back up the truck with the money. I really can't stand playing this role, but you dum-dums keep giving me money to play this role, so I guess I'll do it.
They need a name on top of the marquee.
Is he really a name? Like if Daniel Craig was in some other blockbuster, would you say, oh, Daniel Craig? And I like Daniel Craig. I'm not here to bang on Daniel Craig, but
isn't he in the Knives?
Yeah, that's fine.
Knives Out.
Yeah, out of like, you know, there's 18 other people in that movie.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is, if there was another blockbuster that he's the main guy that you would care about, and it's nothing.
Okay,
I'm just telling you. I need a new Bond.
Okay.
You know, I need a new drug. I need Weird Al to do. I need a new Bond. One that looks like he cares.
There you go. Welcome back, Christy Simone.
Thank you very much.
This just came over the Twitter.
Yes.
Katherine Johnson, one of the NASA mathematicians you might remember from the Hidden Figures.
Absolutely.
She just passed away at the age of 101.
Wow.
Wow. God bless her.
Well,
and those other ladies who
rest in peace, young lady,
got us to the moon and every place else and back.
Pretty you know, my wife read the book. It's sitting on the bookshelf. I got to go grab the
Did
book.
Did you ever read
I saw the movie.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I got to go jump on the book. I'm fascinated.
I am too.
Rest in peace, Katherine Johnson. Now, all right, Republicans. Maybe Bruce Ashkin. This is something maybe he can help me on. This is Republican intrigues. Some of my Republicans need to help me out on this. And, of course, you can message me if you don't want to get in trouble. So we have Kelly Pack, okay? So this is the political action committee that was originally set up to support Kelly Ward running for Senate. Okay? Got it. Okay? So what I need help from my some of my Republicans here, again, message me quietly if you don't want to get in trouble, okay, is so someone shared a Facebook post that said, I didn't even know Kelly Pack was still around, okay? It says, we were originally formed to help support Dr. Kelly Ward in a race against John McCain. Okay, see this is on their Facebook page.
Okay.
And so they're coming out against Daniel McCarthy, the guy who's running against Martha in the Senate primary. So it says, now about the current race, Senator McSally does not have an opponent. This McCarthy character's no Kelly Ward. He's an unknown novice, can't raise money, and seems to have no idea what he's doing. Kelly brought us donors to us, donors that maxed out to her. McCarthy may not even have any max owner donors at all. He's raised $15,000 in 5 months and claims he does not need money to run. He does not even believe in himself. All of you McCarthy sycophants out there need to ask, why did you loan his campaign $120,000 in the first reporting? Then he paid himself back $50,000 in the last reporting. He doesn't even believe in himself. So I guess my question is this. So when I go on to the Kelly Pack site, it's still in Fort Mojave, Arizona, which, you know, Kelly's from that area town. Then Kelly and her husband started some sort of political campaign company, but supposedly they're not doing anything about it. But I don't know if her name's still off the paperwork. So my question is, as a Republican, because we know there are Daniel McCarthy fans out there. Listener Noah is a big one. Okay. And I've actually seen, you guys tell me if I'm wrong, I've seen more Daniel McCarthy signs out there on a front yard than I've seen Martha McSally signs out there. So what I need to know is, do we feel as though, I don't have an opinion on it yet, having a political action committee that has the first name of the lady who is the chairwoman of the GOP, mm-hmm. who is not supposed to take any sort of position in a, yes, I get it. Martha's the incumbent. Martha's going to have a bunch of money. I understand all that jazz. But what I'm saying is, in the fairness of the party, first of all, does Kelly Ward still have anything to do with Kelly Pack, even though it has her name on it? Should she have them change the name so it doesn't say Kelly Pack? These are all kind of ethical questions here. As the chairwoman of the GOP of the state of Arizona, the original pack set up to, should they at least change their name so it doesn't look like an implied endorsement from the Pima, from the Arizona GOP chairwoman? Because one thing that we've learned that we don't like in over the last 10 years plus of doing this show is when people who should be impartial in certain races are not impartial because they're primaries within the party. So anyway, any of you smarty pants out there in the Republican Party can help me out. I'd love to hear from it, because when I see Kelly Pack, again, named after the chairwoman of the state of Arizona, coming out and just, again, whatever you think of Daniel McCarthy or not, he's still a registered Republican who is running for an office in a primary. Doesn't matter who he runs against. It's the idea, is there some sort, does that, as a Republican, does this make you feel, are you okay with that? It just feels, I'm just going to say, for me, it just feels a little... I see that the treasurer is Doug McKee for the Kelly Pack when I go onto their filings. So anyway, Republican scrum, let's figure this out. Who is it okay for the Kelly Pack to take a stance? I assume Kelly has nothing to do with it.
Right, but it has her name on it, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Right. So, and maybe someone's just going to say, hey, Chris, grow up. That's politics. And maybe we are. So maybe that's where we're at. So, Ed, let's go to break. When we come back, I have a whole bunch of stuff that's been gathering on the computer. I'm gonna rapid fire myself, as we like to say. So, 790-2040. Wake up, Tucson. 730 The Voice. Grooving with Big Ed.
And snap, got the power. Come on.
8:47 in the morning. I thought about it. I got to start doing the Trump derangement syndrome quote of the week. Ed, I need you to go to your... you're ready to go. You're the man. Thank God. So I'm going to give you a... We're gonna play you a short clip, about a minute. And this man is responsible... I got to have Greg do the Trump derangement quote of the week. Ed, why don't you play the clips? I'm not even going to say his name. If you know anything about politics, you know who the quote's coming from. Here we go.
You know something? If you had told us 1 year ago that we were going to come in third in Iowa, we would have given anything for that. And you know something? You know something? Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. And we're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan.
Wow.
And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
Yeah! Go back to that scream real quick.
He likes himself. Hold on.
Do that, just do the scream. A little more.
Wait.
A little more.
Yeah!
You want more?
No, that's fine. I just want to get to the scream.
Is he done?
You know, he reminds me of a little bit. He reminds me of a Paul Cunningham. He looks like Paul Cunningham a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
He could be Paul Cunningham's uncle.
So now, tell him who it is now.
It's a former Democrat governor of Vermont, Howard Dean.
Dean.
And, of course, when he did that scream, that was in 2004. This is he was going against John Kerry in a Democrat primary and a few other folks. And, you love that thing, don't you? Let's do it again. One more.
Back to the White House!
So good. It never gets old. So Howard Dean was on. Actually, I want you. You're going to play it a couple more times. So you just get ready. Howard Dean was on CNN's State of the Union.
Well, must be news then.
Quote: "We don't know what's going to happen yet." And it's talking about the election, right? "It's a democratic process, and I think it's a good process. Everybody complains on how long it is and all that. I used to say it all the time. Now it has new meaning. But if you're not tough enough to get through this process, what are you going to do when Putin asks for Alaska back? Well, unfortunately, we have a president who would give it to him today." Unquote. That's the best Howard Dean's got for you today over the weekend is Trump is giving Alaska back to the Russians. Too good.
No, my mic was open. I was blubbering over here.
You the man. Loretta over at the Arizona Daily Independent talking about Noel Campbell. This is in yesterday's edition. Noel Campbell is a Prescott Republican who's set to retire. But what he wants to do, he's leaving behind a bill that would double Arizona's gas tax over the next 3 years. Currently, the bill is stalled in the House, but Capitol watchers are expecting it to be revived as, quote, a striker bill. Formerly strike all amendments are used by politicians to avoid oversight and public engagement process through which most bills pass. Now, Jose Borrajero, who's been on the show before, he's the director of Arizona's People's Lobbyists. He's that guy who has that great website, Ed, that you can send a message and hit one button and it sends the message to every one of the legislators.
Yeah.
Arizona People's Lobbyists. Cool. If you ever want to send an email to all of these elected officials at the state legislature, Arizona People's Lobbyist.
Great idea.
So there's HB 2899. This is from Jose. "The bill at first glance may appear to be harmless enough because based on a short title, assume it only applies to electric and hybrid cars because it says fuel, electric car, hybrids, taxes. But it goes far beyond that because it includes a huge motor oil fuel tax increase. It also contains increases on natural gas, propane, and electricity. It has cleared the House Transportation 6-0. However, it's not gone through Rules Committee, and as of this writing, not scheduled for a hearing, so it might be dead for this session. 2490 HB, this is another Noel Campbell, the... this is from Fernandez, LD4. "The bill appropriates an additional $200 million from the general fund to be distributed among several counties. It passed Transportation Committee 8-1. However, it can't advance unless it clears both Appropriations and Rules Committee and has not been scheduled for a hearing yet in either. It appears that both of these horrible bills are heading for a defeat this session. So Jose says he'll keep an eyeball out on it. So Campbell's bill would increase the gas tax over 36 to 36 cents per gallon. That's 100% increase over the current rate. So, and then again, it's then the other one is like, you're going to take $200 million and give it to the county?
Yeah.
What's the oversight on that? Who wants to give Chucky extra candy that he, I mean, the guy can't spend money right now, normally. So anyway, let's keep an eyeball out. It looked like it was the one-way run from Noel Campbell. Another one in the, this is Andrew Oxford in the Arizona Republic. Bob Thorpe, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Students who register to vote should be registered by their home address and not their dormitory.
Yeah.
So what he wants is the idea that you have part-time students living in cities who are getting registered on campus, who are making differences in towns that they're only going to live in for part-time for maybe 4 to 7 years, depending on your scope of your education. He said that 1,800 voters in his district in Flagstaff listed Northern Arizona University dormitories as their addresses in the last presidential election. I feel like this has so much constitutional headache to it and how they're going to figure out how you get elected or how you get registered. The proposed law would ban students from listing college dormitory addresses when registering to vote. And of course, it would have a big impact on Democrat voters. At ASU dorms, Democrats account for 47% of voters, 20% are Republicans. At the U of A, 51% of voters were Democrats, 17% were registered as Republicans. Now, my part is, yes, there's a political angle to this for Bob Thorpe to do this, but should someone who only lives there, you know, when, so a college student is there the full month of September, October, November, and part of December. So basically they're here for, what, 7 months? So I have someone who's been here, they'll be here for 7 months. And actually I made a mistake by saying 4 to 7. I'm assuming they graduated. So somewhere between 1 and 6 years who lives in your community, almost a half, like a half a year, is that where they should be voting? I don't know. It's a good question. It's not something that keeps me up at night, Ed.
No, but they're just playing with the numbers some more.
It's an election year. I got it. I understand the reality of what's going on here. And then there was also a nice thing I wanted to share with you guys. Oh, stop with
what
here.
What are you doing?
It's the stupid thing where you hit it, you click a story, and it has to give you the auto.
Mm-hmm.
Now this this could be in TUSD, but this is in Maryland. This is from townhall.com. Oh, what a great name this guy has. Oh, Bronson Stocking.
Whew. Really?
What a name.
Wow.
Love that.
wow.
Raven High School in the city of Towson, Maryland, where they have Towson State University, if you've heard of that, possibly. They put a unidentified teacher put a slideshow used in advanced placement history class. And it depicts President Trump above pictures of the Soviet flag and the Nazi swastika. The slide caption says, quote, wants to round up a group of people and build a giant wall. And, oh, that's why it sounds so familiar. So
imagine if you would have done that with Obama, with that picture.
Eviscerated.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is the president of the United States, like it or not.
The Baltimore Sun newspaper, this is via AP, reports that Delegate Kathy Slezliga arranged for copies of the slide and school system's response to be sent to her fellow Baltimore lawmakers. It's horrific. It's educational malfeasance. So, again, the idea that we're now in a public school in an AP history class putting a picture of Donald Trump next to the Soviet flag and the Nazi swastika. and saying because he wants to, quote, build a wall like the Berlin Wall. You get it? You get it? It's like the Berlin Wall.
A border wall, thank you, or a fence or whatever they have in Mexico and places like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, comparing the Berlin Wall to a barrier between two sovereign nations that have been sovereign nations, well, one of us for a couple of hundred years, the other one a little less, is not the same as the Allies and the Russians cutting a deal to split the two different countries and a city in half with a wall. Not only is, you know, the top line insult, of course, is comparing the president's a Soviet Nazi or whatever they're calling him here, right?
Yeah, and this is high school.
The best part is the TDS, or Trump Derangement Syndrome, that this teacher is experiencing forced him to show an absolute ignorance of history.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least forget what the actual history is. So, everyone, thanks for a nice comeback kind of show. I got to just find the loop of that. So we just hit it. Howard. Who knew we were going to play that today so much? All right, we'll see you tomorrow. John Backer running for Pima County Board of Supes. Josh Nicholson, who's a current sitting Oral Valley Town Councilman. And then we'll give you an update on the 2020 census. Zach's coming up. Tipping point. I got a tipping point.